Previously on Adventure.
Our adventure began when our character Thrace was sucked through a portal. In Shadowfell, they picked up a traveling companion by the name of Balak Brightwood. Whilst in the Shadowfell, they found their friend Thrace along with her whole family. In order to save the royal family, they will either have to convince Auric to reopen the portal, or they will have to rip his heart from his chest, which will give Samuel the power to be able to open it from below. Once they escaped Shadowfell, they immediately happened upon a druid village. After being shitty to the perfectly nice druids, they were pointed in the direction of the Tree of Vision. Inside of the tree, they were met with six doors bearing druid phrases and a large door with six locks.
The gods of nature told me that you should just follow me this way. And then he walks toward the room of the druid's door and opens it right up.
Hey, Balak, can you hear us?
No.
Can I?
He cannot. He cannot hear you, and he cannot see you anymore.
Oi!
I can't see them.
As far as he's concerned, the door closed behind him, but they didn't come in. He's on his own.
Oh, well, it was nice knowing him. Let's move on. You want to get a pint of ale?
That's not a bad plan. We could try that door with nothing on it.
Okay, well, it seems like we possibly might have to go in these rooms by ourselves. All right, so, Henley, where do you want to go?
I'm going to the room of nothing.
So Henley approaches. He approaches the room of nothing.
Redfield's staying back.
Yes, waiting to see what happens.
Yeah, to see what happens.
You realize that even though there is a door to the room of nothing, the room of the druid is the only one that still has a door handle with which to open the door.
Is it a push or is it a pull?
Yeah, you can try pushing the door if you'd like, but none of these doors are going to be open. You are looking at a wide open door. And you can see Balak inside the room. And from Balak's point of view, he's looking at a closed door, and apparently none of you guys followed him into this room.
And none of the other doors have handles on them.
None of the other doors have handles.
What are their doors made of?
They're made of oak.
Wow. I'm going to go over to the door of the druid room and try and take the handle off.
Okay, so you are going to reach out, grab this door, and you are going to take another 1d8 of damage as you get bounced off back onto your ass. And that's going to be 6 points of damage.
Can I go up and try to open the door?
Yes, you can.
If you want more damage.
All right, I try to open the door from my side.
Nothing happens, you just can't open the door.
Okay, so I'm jiggling at the door.
Okay, and so these guys are watching you, holding on to what looks like thin air and jiggling.
Watch the way you say that, okay?
Redfield sits himself down directly in the center part of the rooms,
yep.
And he takes out his e-cig, and I'm going to roll an investigation check to see if I see anything while I'm kind of eyeing the room around while I'm sitting here.
Go plus zero. You got 12.
All right. So you can see enough to, with your vast experience and worldly knowledge of all of this kind of stuff, you can see that they appear to be big oak doors, but they're clearly a little more mystical in nature.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's all you can really tell from it.
So I don't think, guys, I don't think that fire is going to work.
Damn.
Sorry, Jillian.
I have a second plan.
I also don't think freezing them and trying to crack them in half is going to work.
I have another plan beyond those.
I don't think poison or lightning.
Oh, come on! You're killing me here. You're killing me. Here's an idea. I can see through. I can see.
Yes, you can see Balak, yeah.
Okay.
You can see him in the room.
Well, I have a jiggling. I have a seventh level teleport spell.
Okay.
That I can transport up to 8 willing creatures of your choice that you can see within range, or a single object you can see within range. We are at the door. So, if you target an object, it must be able to fit entirely inside a 10-foot cube. The door is not bigger than... Okay. Shall we...
Which door are you targeting?
Where Balak is.
So you're trying to get Balak out of the room?
No, we're
or
trying,
you're
to
trying to
join him.
Join him. You're trying to get you guys into the
into
room.
Into where he
by
is.
By removing the door?
No, we're teleporting past the door
you're going
into where he is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it's somewhere where you can see, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It must be known to me, and it's known to me. I can see where he is.
What's the plan? What are you cooking up here, Jillian?
I think we should stay together.
But what are you going to do? Because I don't know what Bob said. What is Julian
going to
do?
Julian is going to teleport all of us into where Balak is.
I would suggest you give Balak a chance to at least investigate the room before you make any rash.
Well, let Julian do this stupid thing, and then we'll go from there. I'm going to sit out the whole teleporting thing. If it works, hey, man. Egg on my face, but I'm just gonna sit here. Okay.
Yeah.
Henley, what? How are you feeling?
It's fine. I'll take a wee rod.
So you're aiming to just transport the two of you into the room.
Past
right?
the door.
That's what you're trying
to do. Yes.
Okay.
Past this force field into the room.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you cast your spell, and you and Henley kind of get a little shimmery, and Redfield watches as this shimmery cloud that is Julian and Henley zooms towards the wall and goes zzz, hits the wall, bounces off, and you both take 1d8 damage.
Oh my god.
6 points. So now you've tried to transport in. Balak is still just jiggling fresh air over there?
Well, okay, so did I feel any resistance when they just, like, hit the doorway?
You felt like, you know, maybe a little sound wave, like, boom kind of thing.
Okay.
But not much.
Boink.
Okay, so right in that moment, he, like, lets go of the door, stops jiggling, and looks around at his surroundings. I'm going to roll perception real quick. I got a 19. What do I see around me?
What you see around you is just a... basically a carved out hollow wooden room, and at the end of it is what looks like an ornate mirror.
Our end or his end? Or the other end?
In his end. So
toward us?
No, up the other end of the room. So if he walks away from the door and he turns around, he looks at the back of the room. It's only about 10 feet by 10 feet, and he sees what looks like a mirror, except the reflection in the mirror is just kind of a smoky gray mist. It looks like it should be a mirror, but there's not really a reflection there. And above the mirror are written the words in Druidic, "To thine own self be true."
To thy own self be true. Balak, like, goes up and, like, when he moves up and walks toward the mirror, does the shadow or the smoky image, like, reflect him, like, move his movements?
No, it's still just smoky right now.
He like, touches the mirror. With his
yep.
hand.
Yep, it feels like feels like glass. It feels like a mirror, and it's dynamic. Like it's there's obviously a reflection there, but it seems to just be reflecting a gray smoke.
Hmm. Is there nothing else of interest in here?
Nope, that's it. Just the words, "To thine own self be true."
Well, he's just gonna sit cross-legged and think for a little while. That's what you guys see.
Okay, so you're looking and you see him just like sitting on the floor. Maybe he's going to spark up his pipe weed a bit. And
exactly.
You know. Real lack of sense of urgency happening on the other side of that room.
Time,
I was hoping
man.
For more. We're trying to rescue him, and look what we're getting in return.
So can we leave the Deku Tree?
Why don't I just call it the Deku Tree?
Yeah.
We can leave him behind.
You can.
Like, when I look, is it, like, open or...?
Yeah, that big wide door you walked into is open. You can see back to the Druid's village. You know, there's nothing's changed there as such.
Okay. I just want to test it. So Redfield slowly walks up with his hand out.
Yes.
Kind of sense if there's any sort of, like, barrier as he walks toward the door.
There's no barrier.
Okay. So
you can freely leave the tree if you would like to leave the tree.
So he walks back in. So that way is fine, just so everybody knows.
So the option to leave him here
is there. The option to leave
is
there in case we decide to go that way. It's not my first option, but
if
all the options are to sit around in this room and do nothing. So I tried to look and see if there's anything around. I couldn't really do it. I don't know if you or Henley want to take a look around.
Sure. Investigation check?
Sure.
10.
Yeah, 10. But you have plus 9 on investigation checks, so you have 19.
Okay, so I'm going to very pointedly say that you look around, there's 6 doors. You look at the big ornate door, there's 6 keyholes. And there is no doorknobs on anything else other than the door that Balak is currently in. And that is all there is to see.
Okay, so that's it.
Very simple puzzle.
So, Balak, you better get shit together right now.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, I think I'm just stuck in a room and no one can see me.
Right.
Dance like nobody's watching.
I'd give some thought to the duality of the character that is Balak.
So he starts thinking about it, and he looks at the mirror again, and he stands up, and he does a really, strong, almost like a superhero man pose. And while he's looking at the mirror.
A superhero
trying to, like,
man.
Lift his chest up. Yeah, yeah. I was trying not to copyright, everything.
The mirror continues to swirl gray.
His chest kind of goes back down, and he looks, kind of sad. He just starts transforming into his favorite animals. He transforms into a Black Panther.
Oh, and as soon as he transforms into the Black Panther, the mirror starts to clear, the gray cloud clears away, and he sees the reflection of himself as a proud Black Panther in the mirror. And he notices that behind the proud Black Panther in the mirror is a small table. And on that small table is a small silver plate. And on the small silver plate is a key. And when he turns around, the table is in real life by the door with a key on it.
He stays in the panther form and tries to grab the key with his mouth and put it in the door.
As soon as he picks up the key and he grabs the key, the door creaks open.
And as the door, now he's backing with us, right?
The door is creaked open and he's a panther with a key in his mouth.
So he can see and hear us again.
Yes.
I'm gonna assume. So when the door opens for him, he hears Redfield screaming, "There's a key! There's a key! There's a key!"
And Balak runs in, drops it, and runs into the room, but he stays in his panther form.
Right.
Circling, nesting.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
Redfield picks it up off the floor and walks up to the door with the six locks and sticks it in one of the first lock.
Okay, and that lock just dissolves into sand in his hand. The whole thing, the lock, the key, everything, it just crumbles away. And now you have a big door with five locks remaining.
Okay, he turns back into his, human form, and he's like, okay, so it said that there's the writing above it said something about being my true self, and I turned into a panther again, and then I came back, I was able to get the key and come back in.
Yeah, we could see the whole thing, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
We tried to reach you,
yeah.
We couldn't.
Oh, weird. So maybe all these are for each of you, too?
If you want to look around again, you'll see that the Room of the Four Humors is now a doorknob has appeared on.
Is somebody funny?
This first room was called Room of the Druids, and our new friend here entered it. Do we think that... Now, there are more doors than there are of us, but I have a feeling that possibly... These rooms might have significance to each of us.
I believe that's a good guess.
They got it.
Room of the Humors, obviously the most hilarious of us should enter that room.
Henley?
I'll think someone's taking the piss.
I mean, I was just saying that I should enter that room, obviously.
I thought that's where you were going and I wasn't going to take it personally, so I want to say I agree.
As the least humorous, maybe I should.
Maybe.
Maybe it's meant to be...
It's for the straight man.
Not called the Room of Irony.
Yeah. All right, so we're basically standing in the middle of the room by the big door, right? Because we just unlocked that
lock. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Redfield looks around the doors, and he starts walking towards the Room of Redemption.
Oh, hey, Redfield. Redfield.
Yes.
So, I didn't know what to do while I was in there. I'm sure you saw me, but then I just did something I usually do. I don't know. Maybe that'll help you out.
All right, that was...
What is he talking about?
I just turned into a panther, which I do, all the time, basically. So, I don't know. Maybe that'll help. Do something you usually do. Maybe that'll
turn into
maybe
a panther. I haven't
it.
Seen that yet.
I don't turn into a panther.
Julian,
his advice does
no,
not
no,
matter.
No. That's what I
Julian,
do. No.
What he's saying is, he turns into a panther all the time, and so maybe Redfield could do something he does all the time, like being, you know, an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I guess.
As long as we don't see what you do all the time, handling your language.
What do you think I'm doing right now? Wink. Redfield walks over to the room of redemption and tries the door.
Okay, it opens.
All right, so if this works the way it worked the last time, I'm going to get in here and you guys will be able to follow me. But I have a feeling that not all these rooms are going to be the same. So let's be prepared for anything. I'm going to walk on through. So Redfield walks through the door.
Okay, he just walks into a room and it just looks like a plain room with, you know, kind of mildewy wooden walls because you are inside a tree, but nothing of any significance.
Okay. So Redfield turns around to look back at the people. Can I see everyone standing there?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
We gather around the door.
Yeah.
Henley, why don't you try to walk through the door?
And he's just giving giving the look like, I don't think this is a good idea, but okay. And he just starts to walk.
And he just walks into the room, and it's still just a regular room.
But he points at Redfield and goes, aha! Like he tricked him somehow.
Right.
I don't know why you're ahaing me. I just wanted to learn that information. And then Redfield turns around and kind of like mouths himself, damn it.
Oh, I got the information, Redfield.
Shall we join them? Balak, shall we?
I suppose so. I'm along for the ride.
Okay, let's see where we're at. Can we all wander into the room
okay,
as well?
Okay, so you walk through. Julian walks in. Balak walks in. And the second Balak walks into the room, the door slams shut behind him. And with that slam, all of you feel a little dizzy. And you blink and you open your eyes. And you realize you're all now standing in what appears to look like a medieval courtroom. There's peasants crowded into view, although their vacant stares make you wonder whether they are truly what they seem. You realize that all four of you have walked into a separate, raised, barricaded podium each and are looking at each other from four different points in this vast hall. A booming voice starts to speak. It seems to be coming from all around you. It says,
"You will be judged."
And the audience of peasants starts to jeer and boo.
Hello, listeners. This is Justin. Just taking a quick break in the episode to thank BattleBards and Tabletop Audio as always, and you all listeners for sticking around. Sorry, it's very loud outside my house today. but thanks for sticking around, and sorry we're a little late on this episode again. We do have, like Bobby said on the last episode, where him and I sat down and talked about our process for a while. We do have the rest of the season recorded, and we will try our best to stick to our schedules as much as we can. But just so you know, even if we're going to be a little late here and there, the episodes will still be coming out. It looks like next episode, hopefully we'll have some more of the Henley reads. And I did see continuing to get some more iTunes reviews, so thanks as always. And to not keep you waiting, let's get back into the episode. Thanks as always.
Friendly little pain. Thief. Coward. Spreader of venereal disease.
Explain yourself.
Henley looks down at his hand and he's kind of like counting his fingers and then does a little nod like, checks out.
Oh, wow.
Explain yourself. What right do you have to move through life taking that which belongs to others?
I'm sorry, your name was?
I am the judge.
All right, the judge. I'm going to need you to be a little bit more specific. I'll take a lot of things, and I'm not quite sure if I'm going to pretend to apologize, that I can do it convincingly, if I don't know exactly what it is you think I did that I probably did do.
You know what you did, Henry Lil Peen.
Oh, this is going to go on for bloody ever. All right. I'm very sorry for that thing I did with your mom. And he kind of like squints his eyes like, maybe?
Henry Lil Peen, you have been judged.
And at this point, the crowd of peasants starts to throw rotten fruit and vegetables. The other three of you are watching this spectacle.
No, we're throwing fruit and vegetables.
Somebody Redfield's
got his bag of like the old fruit from the Chicago dimension. Right, he's tossing it. Shame!
You have been judged. Your apology has been accepted. But that does not mean there are not consequences.
What you want me to do? I mean, for Christ's sake.
You receive 1,000 gold pieces.
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you just give me a... Shh. Okay.
You receive the Cloak of Billowing.
Yep.
You receive a bag of jerky.
Long time ago, I don't know what was the hell in this garage, but all right.
And I will quickly tell you what the Cloak of Billowing. While wearing this cloak, you can use a bonus action to make it billow dramatically. That's it. That's all.
That'll pair very well with your sunglasses.
This is what you receive for your apology. However, as I said, there are consequences.
At this point, Hendley, you feel a searing pain shoot through you, and it shoots right through you into your groin. Doubling over in pain, you reach down your pants, and with your thumb and forefinger, you realize in horror you have been shrunk from a Lil Peen to a micro peen.
The judge, I'm sorry. I'll just need a minute. I'll be right there. And he turns 180 degrees. You hear the unfastening of pants, the looking down, and you can see like he's looking down, and then his head falls down in a
And you three, at any point, you are all within range of each other to speak, see, like, you know, you can jump in at any point.
I'm just taking it all in right now.
Of course, Red Bull is, yeah.
Little bit of Dashley and Muttley snickering.
DM, do we have any idea where we are right now?
Nope, you were in a tree, and you are now in a medieval courtroom.
On four separate podiums.
Exactly, you're in a medieval courtroom with a crowd of peasants, and you're in four of the corners in, like, basically the defendant's box.
Yeah, we're in the defendant's boxes or whatever.
Yes.
Are we...
like an embarrasser? They're...
yeah,
regular...
no, you can't hear or see anything in authority. Okay. Or you can't see anything in authority. You can just hear the booming voice coming from around you.
And are we shackled into these boxes in any way?
You're not shackled in, but there's bars in front of you. You can't, and there's no out of it. Like, you know, you walked into an empty room.
Right,
you
right,
felt
right.
dizzy, blinked, and now you're in these, you know, defendant's boxes.
They're above the ground, sort of?
Yeah, they're just, there's nowhere to go, really. Okay. I mean, you can certainly try and jump out if you feel like it, but...
Okay. I'm just wondering.
Yes.
I'm just going to lay the land.
Yeah.
Julian Wingate. It falls upon you to speak for all of your companions and explain to these people why you dropped a dragon on their families.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Point of order, Judge. I was not part of that. I was not there. He's not speaking for me.
You will be quiet. Your turn will come.
He is correct.
I'm just, you know.
You look around and you realize the gathered crowd has transformed from peasants to goblins.
Oh.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Julian, explain yourself and your one other traveler.
The crappy answer would be it seemed like a good idea at the time. We were trying to do the right thing. The right thing went very badly, very quickly. These things happen.
The goblins start to hiss and boo and snarl at you.
I would say it went pretty well for us, just to be fair.
He is right about that. But it did go well for an entire town, and we are very sorry for that. We thought we had this covered.
Julian Wingate, your apology has been accepted.
It doesn't stop me from peeing my own pants again.
You will receive.
Julian, I don't know how this is going to go for you, but that was a really bad apology. No, you didn't even actually apologize.
I tried.
You just said, oh, it happened.
Well, so the hat of wizardry.
Did you
it was
say
working out?
Next time, say something about maybe like I'm sorry you feel that way. People love it when you do that.
I should have thought of that. Where were you 10 minutes ago?
Having his penis shrunk.
He was feeling for it.
He's gonna cut that one little section out of it.
He's still got his hand down his pants, twiddling away though. Yeah. So the Hat of Wizardry is an antiquated cone-shaped hat, and it's adorned with gold crescent moons and stars. You can use the hat as a spellcasting focus for your wizard spells, and you can try to cast a cantrip that you don't know. The cantrip must be on the wizard spell list, and you must make a DC 10 intelligence check. If the check succeeds, you cast the spell.
Very interesting.
In either case, you can't use this property again until you finish a long rest. So if the check fails, so does the spell.
Interesting.
Okay. So you will receive the Hat of Wizardry.
I'm always up for a nice hat.
I'm pretty sure you can pass your intelligence DC test without rolling, basically, at this point. So
yeah.
Sorry about that. I was going to say something.
You will receive a burlap cloth shaped like an adult diaper.
I knew that was coming somehow.
And you will receive a nice cup of tea. However, there are always consequences to your action.
At this point, Julian, you feel a searing pain. And all of a sudden, the pressing need to urinate. You have been cursed with an even smaller bladder, which means on every other turn of battle, you will need to use an action to relieve yourself.
Every other turn? Wow, that is pretty harsh.
That's mean.
Oh, I'm sorry. Brian, you said that's mean? Micropene over
yeah,
there,
but
that's mean?
Yeah, this was just like a funny story thing. This is like a mechanics thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll have to look through this out of character. Look through these spells and see
right, well,
what you can come up with. But...
Buckle up, buttercups.
Yeah.
Balak Brightwood, explain to your...
Oh, boy. Oh.
Explain to your new traveling companions what it is you did to drive away your parents when you were a child.
The crowd has suddenly gone quiet and you realize they have transformed once again. This time there is simply a middle-aged druid couple standing in the middle.
I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything to make them leave.
That is not good enough. You know what you did.
I don't. Was it the tree I cut down?
You know the answer to this question. And if you do not want to tell us the answer, well, I guess you are going to get to your punishment first.
You feel a pain that you guessed might be coming. Your butt starts to feel like you just might poop yourself right there, until you realize the thing forcing itself out is the long tail that is now poking out from under your robes. Out of the corner of your eye, you swear you see Teprak smirk and snigger, if a rug was actually capable of that. So you now have a long tail. Just, you know, for shits and giggles.
So it's like I always have a tail even in, like, human form now?
At the moment, yes. Yes, you are going to have that tail regardless. It's going to be sticking out from under your cloak and tripping you up every now and then.
He just kind of, like, looks back and he's like, oh, that's curious. I usually can't. That's pretty neat. Well... That's a punishment?
That's awesome. That's not even a punishment for Balak.
You will also receive the Cloak of Many Fashions.
While wearing this cloak, you can use a bonus action to change the style, color, and quality of the garment. Just so you can look a little more fly, basically. You will receive a hand-blown glass contraption that contains water and has a mouthpiece a lot like your pipeweed pipe. So Balak made out of this deal pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't even have to apologize. So, I don't understand the rules of this court.
Right.
And he's like, well, why are we here? And he's like looking around, and he looks at the druids. Are they his like parents?
Well, you can roll and see what you can figure out.
Okay. Well, perception. I rolled a 2. So
if you rolled a 2, I'm gonna say that you can't really tell if it's really your parents or not, which is upsetting to you.
So it's almost like blurry, or I just can't tell, kind of.
Yes. Like you feel like it can't possibly be, but there's a chance that that's your parents standing right there in the middle of this room.
I didn't mean to do anything wrong. I don't even know what I did, but I guess I'm sorry.
They just look up at you and start shaking their heads disapprovingly. And your mother, or at least the one that looks like your mother, says, "I'm not angry, Balak. I'm just disappointed."
That means they're angry. We all know that's true.
Just tell me what I did. I can fix it. And he just kind of like hangs his head down a little low.
Oh, now I feel like I'm kicking a puppy.
Got that look.
Now he's being mean to the nice druid, huh?
And his tail is curling under a little bit.
Oh yeah, he's got his tail tucked between his legs as well.
Can the tail be like a calico cat tail?
Yeah, it should be, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Redfield, spy, traitor, assassin, a halfling with death following him around. Do your friends have any idea the danger that is in their midst? Why don't you tell them now? And remember that while the truth may set you free, it will not free you from the consequences of your actions.
This time when the crowd transforms, it does not return. This time it seems like the audience is simply your three companions.
I'm supposed to tell them.
Explain yourself, Redfield. Tell us your shame.
This might serve as a good reminder for all of you as well, because it was a while ago. When we were in the camp, Samuel told you a little bit about my past. And how I was a spy in the Dragonborn Kingdom. I was sent to kill the king, but I did not. And when you're doing the job that I was doing, they put in place assurances that you're going to do that job. One of which is they ask you to accept a curse that says if you do not commit and do not follow your orders the way you're supposed to follow them, the curse takes over and you will die. So I've been running away from that for a long time, and he rolls up his sleeve and you can see this kind of like black line starting to like encroach up from his arm toward his chest, and he picks up his little cigarette and he says, "This is what this is for." And he sucks in the cigarette and the black lines sort of recede a little.
Ooh. How many people have you murdered, Redfield?
Murdered is a strong word.
It is the right word. Tell your friends, how many people have you murdered, Redfield?
18! I'm guessing 18!
I'm saying higher. But I dropped a dragon on an entire village, so I'm not one to judge.
You helped!
I'm not a psychopath. I don't keep count of all the people I've killed, but it's, you know.
Wait, what?
50.
I feel like it makes you a psychopath if you've literally killed so many you can't remember.
Oh, it's 50, 60.
But they all deserved it.
Did they? Yeah, did they deserve it?
Yeah, some of them deserved it.
Oh, only some.
It is not your place to judge who deserved it and who did not.
Why is it your place? Excuse me?
Yes. I am the judge.
Who elected you, Judge?
Who are you, Judge?
Who are you?
We're still only hearing this voice, right?
Yes. Yeah. You've got nowhere to actually direct this anger at.
The last piece of this puzzle is, I found ways to keep the curse at bay. That was just me failing in my mission. If I actively help to save the king's life, I don't know what's going to happen.
We might be able to help with that. You never know. We've been pretty good.
You would help a murderer?
Yes.
Is that what you want me to tell them, Judge?
That will be for now. You will receive the Orb of Time.
Whilst holding this orb, you can use an action to determine whether it is morning, afternoon, evening, or nighttime. Yeah, stick that in your broom and fly around.
You will receive a small bell reminiscent of one at a desk in a hotel you once visited.
Do I get it now?
Yes.
Please, do I just have it now?
It's gonna. It appears. All of these things are appearing in front of you.
A comfortable sound of rubber. And now for the not so good.
Wait, what was the last thing?
A comfortable saddle, fit for a broom.
Oh, nice, goodness.
And at this point, Redfield, you know what's coming.
I'm assuming I'm gonna vomit or, like,
poop.
Well, no, we pooped, we peed, we got a small penis. I'm assuming I'm gonna, some other sort of bodily function is gonna happen here.
But Redfield, there is no physical pain. Just the knowledge that the people he is with now look at him differently than they did before. Which he honestly doesn't even
shit about. Good punishment.
Yeah.
You're really, really second to my core.
The trial is complete. Here is your key. Let's hope it was worth the price.
And at this point, a key swirls into existence in the air in the middle of the room and drops to the floor with a clang. As it does, the visage of the courtroom...
Fancy.
Yeah. The courtroom disappears and the four of you just stand looking at each other in a small wooden room with an open door leading out to the main room.